You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
The two amigos are back. I am Carter Melrose. This is the DolphinsTalk.com Podcasting Network. And the Dolphins are the AFC East gods. Also, it is Mexico's Independence Day. I had to sneak that in there, Jorge, for you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm so happy that we're first place in the division right now. I almost died Sunday watching that game. I was this close to a heart attack. If I was any older, I would have probably died.
Yeah.
So it was a great game, right?
I mean, what I said leading up to this game was that I was predicting a Dolphins blowout on the Patriots. It wasn't a blowout, but we still won. I put so much money on the Dolphins. You don't even understand. I'm a grad student, so the money I put on these Dolphins, it was like $600 or something. If I would have lost that money, that would have been really hard on me. So I'm.
That was your tuition money, wasn't it?
It was all of it. It was all my. It was the entirety of my tuition money I put on the Dolphins because I was that sure that we would win. And we did sneak it out. But before we go into like the specifics of the Patriots game, I want to tell you about something that happened at school, Jorge, that really got my goose. Do you want to hear about it?
I'm scared, but go ahead.
Okay. So like I said, I'm in grad school and I don't talk too much Dolphins with other people because usually everyone just hates on the Dolphins. And I was correct. So I was in class about 4 days ago and I think I was buying a jersey or looking into a jersey. Someone looks over my shoulder. They go, "Oh, you're a Dolphins fan. Guess what? Tua sucks." He just yells it in my face. And at that point, like three or four guys in the class heard him and they said, "Yeah, Tua is awful. I don't know how he still has a job." That's what they said. And they were ganging up on me, bullying me. And I didn't know what to do. I wish you were there for me.
If I was there, you know, we would be throwing hands from the start. Just the moment someone like looks at you bad, I'm throwing hands, man.
Thank you, dude. It made me cry almost. It was just like, oh my, everyone hates Tua so much. And I really want him to prove everyone wrong. I really
Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, the kid hasn't even played 16 games.
Yeah.
He's got 10 wins to what? Three losses or seven right. wins and three losses. Sorry. He's got a great touchdown to interception ratio. I don't understand where the hate is from.
Yes, I don't understand it either, but I will say this. What it tells me is that the people in Iowa, if the people in Iowa even have a negative opinion on Tua, this is the nation. This is what the nation thinks. It's a melting pot. It is what the nation thinks of Tua. They hate the guy. They think he sucks. They think he needs to, you know, work at Kmart, and Kmart doesn't even exist anymore. So, I don't know.
Wait, there's no Kmart in the U.S. anymore?
I don't think in the United States. I think they're all gone.
No, there's still Kmart here.
Oh, maybe. No, maybe Iowa. Maybe it was Iowa. There's no more Kmart. Maybe that's just a me thing. I'm sorry. I'm projecting at this point. Okay, but let's do this. Let's go over the headlines. And then, also, I don't know why I didn't say this off the top. We have a Buffalo Bills fan coming on the show. And Jorge really didn't want him to come on the show at all.
Yeah, I'm a Dolphin. This is Dolphins podcast. We're called Two Amigos. Obviously, didn't want a Bills fan in the show, but I'll be nice. I'll be nice later on.
I went on his show and I felt like, you know what? He's got to come on my show. We got to do a little bit of debating because guess what? I need backup. We're going to double team him on this and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Just tell me, is he one of the guys from your class that yelled at you?
No, that guy, if he came on the show, oh my gosh, we would just dox him. That's all we would do because. God, those guys were really getting my goose. But the guy coming on the show, his name is Vince Taylor, and he runs the podcast Buffalo on the Brain. So that'll come up in a little bit, but let's do headlines first.
Buffalo on the what?
Buffalo on the Brain. You like
on
that?
On the Brain?
On the Brain.
Like, oh, that's a really weird name.
Like he's thinking about the team off.
Yeah, I get it. Buffalo on the Brain. It's just weird because Buffalo Bills fans are known for concussing themselves, throwing themselves.
You won't let even a moment go by without throwing a shot at the Buffalo Bills. Okay, well, let's do headlines. The first headline we got is week two. We got Will Fuller back. Anything in your mind there?
I love how Will Fuller just doesn't practice at all, basically. Like, he missed, like, a bunch of training camp because he was injured. Then he was at practice yesterday, and then today he missed it for personal issues, which I still haven't seen clarified anywhere. So I'm hoping it's nothing bad and that he'll be back tomorrow. But here's the one thing I've learned. Will Fuller does not like to practice.
No. He's and the Allen Iverson of our show.
Yeah, I'm for sure. It'd be great if he would be on our show.
Oh, no. I mean, the Allen Iverson of our team. But yeah, you're right. He doesn't practice. Do you think that'll matter? Do you think that he's going to look rusty? He's not going to know the playbook. What do you think?
Look, I don't know. I think Tua said that they got together over the summer before training camp, and he was there for, I think, two or three practices for training camp. So, you know, hopefully he'll be okay. And I think just having Will Fuller on the field forces the defense to react to having Will Fuller on the defense.
And honestly, his route's the go route. Okay, his route's the go route. All I need him to do is run a 4-3 down the sideline every single play. I don't need him to practice. I don't need him to just get on the field. Don't get suspended ever again and run a 4-3 down the sideline every play. And I'm okay. I mean, yeah, that's what we need him for. That's what we need him for. Okay. So the second one we got for you, and this one's just to piss you off. Jorge's sworn rival, Adam Shaheen, is back, baby. And he's looking good. He's looking great. He's looking crisp.
Okay, first of all, you have no way of knowing that.
I don't know.
All right, second, I think Titans look great. I mean, if your name was not Mike Gesicki, I think you looked great last week. I think it was the worst game in Gesicki with Gesicki's had in a long time. The interception, look, I get it. You're not expecting the ball, but it hit you in the hands twice. Could you do anything with it? I don't know, catch it, push it down. Don't put it in the other guy's hands.
Yeah. Just,
you know, an idea. Yeah. But I don't know. I think Hunter Long looked good, and that's what I've been reading from some people that know a lot more about it than me. And obviously Smythe looked great, and they looked both good. They looked good run blocking, something that Gesicki and Shaheen don't do that well. So I don't know. I'm not sure how much field time we're going to see from Shaheen this week.
You know, I've heard a lot of Gesicki slander this week, honestly, and a lot of people are saying they don't see his role in this offense being very large.
No, I don't agree with that.
You don't agree with that? I mean, because he is basically a slot wide receiver because he does not block very well. So,
well, he's improved. He has improved.
Okay, I'll back off on that.
He has improved. He's not a great blocker. And if it's, you know, one tight end, one running back, and you're going to run it to his side, you're not going to get too far. But he's better than what he was.
Okay, we have to see how it goes. But he did have zero catches, and I started him in fantasy week one, and it just really screwed
me. Don't even talk to me about fantasy, because I had Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones, and they gave me a combined 5 points, and I lost by 4.
Normally, that would be a god lineup, but I'm sorry to hear that Aaron Rodgers scored one fantasy point. And they were so bad. My roommate's a Packers fan, so we had to watch that terrible game as well as the Dolphins at the same time. Sorry about that. Okay, so the final headline we have is JC Jackson gets mossed and then tells the media that Tua is awful and he only has one read. What did you think about that quote?
I think quarterbacks, especially young quarterbacks, any young quarterback is going to struggle if you take away their first read. And what the Patriots were doing was force Tua to hold onto the ball, let plays develop. And that's not Tua's strength. And that's not what Dolphins were hoping would happen, because we saw what Dolphins wanted to happen in the first drive of the game and the first drive of the second half. It was a quick offense, you know, RPOs, throw it to your first read and just let them make plays. And I thought it was a good game plan from Belichick. I also think that Jackson is just being a very bad loser, because if Tua was so bad, how was it that he beat them in their own stadium?
It was so funny. I mean, the picture he posted after the game of him breaking up one pass as if that was anything at all. It was just sort of funny for me. I mean, honestly, Tua didn't look good. Can we basically agree on that? I mean,
but he didn't look bad either.
He didn't look
bad.
No.
Yeah, and I've been seeing this on Twitter a lot. And where's the last time you saw a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback, look good against the Belichick coach defense in Foxborough?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see it a lot. You don't see it at all. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. He went into Foxborough and he won. And really, there's nothing more to say on the matter. But the J.C. Jackson thing was just so funny. But the quote is interesting because I look at the quote itself about and I do trust him a little bit on this idea, is that Tua does do that where he does look at the first read. And if it's not open, you know, he does struggle a little bit. I mean, we saw that in the first game.
I don't know. But in the preseason, we saw Tua moving on to his second, third read. I think it was just a very good playbook, but a game plan from Belichick.
Oh, you're right. And taking Gesicki out of the game.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough on Tua by itself because he loves himself some Gesicki in the slot. Okay. So let's go on to touch on the Pats game just a little bit before we bring on our Bills fan. Let's do this. All right. Dolphins win. The fans are still royally pissed. Everyone was not as happy as I thought they would be after we go into Foxborough and beat our rivals. What did you think?
I mean, we knew that was going to happen, right? At this point, Tua can go and win the Super Bowl and people are still going to complain that he wasn't good.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think winning in Foxborough is never easy. Winning week one, which is the game that you have the longest to prepare for, is never easy. And Dolphins went in there with two new offensive coordinators, a new dynamic against a defense that has a lot of returning players from that weren't there last year. You know, Hightower wasn't there last year. Matt Judon, who is a free agent signing, Davon Gotcho, Kyle Van Noy. I mean, a lot of good players. Christian Barmore, the rookie, and the Dolphins still went in there. And I think what was most impressive to me was the Dolphins being backed up first and 14. They needed to run, you know, 4 minute offense and kill the clock. And they did. When was the last time we could say that from the Dolphins? Like the offense needed to kill the game. And they did.
And they did. There was that play right when they got the fumble that a lot of people are saying that Tua checked out of a run.
Yeah. Right. That's the case. Yeah.
To throw that slant to Parker to get like, what is it? First and 14, which is
and they got like 12 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. And in most games for the Dolphins in Foxborough, you're giving the ball back to Brady. That's usually what would happen. You know what I mean? You on first and 14 backed up into your own end zone like that. You run three times. They call a couple timeouts and then Tom Brady beats you at the buzzer.
Yeah. And can I just say something? I mean, I want to bring our attention to something. How many times have we seen the Patriots, you know, get the ball back to end the half, score before the half ends, and then get the ball back to start the third quarter and score again, and then make it a 10-point swing? The Dolphins
all the time
did that to the Patriots in Foxborough.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And we got ourselves an ex-Patriot coach. So that makes sense. You know,
But and how many times did we see the Patriots lining up with Tom Brady, third and one, fourth and one, and everyone in the stadium knew that a sneak was coming and still was unstoppable. And we did that this week with Jacoby Brissett. And then a lot of people were freaking out about, well, why is he in? Why is he this? Why is he that? Honestly, I think that the plan with Brissett was come in, do the sneak, you know, get everyone back in the no huddle, get them lined up, and the Patriots are going to call a timeout. And the Patriots didn't. And then I think he took a bit too long to call the timeout himself, and we lost a couple of yards. But I'm all for bringing Jacoby Brissett for the sneak.
I don't know really why that's even controversial at all. I mean,
because it's Dolphins Twitter, man. Anything that has to do with a quarterback,
yeah,
especially with Tua, it's going to be a big deal.
That is true. The minute that Tua came out, my heart did sink a little bit, but then I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. I see what they're doing. But I did have some PTSD things from last season on the fifth stuff. But the minute I got it cleared up and I saw that they were going to just, you know, use him basically as a stunt dummy. I was just like, that's fine. You do you. You do you. And they used him twice.
And it worked.
And it worked both times. So I think you could do that most of the season and it would work as well.
Yeah,
okay. The other thing I have to say about the game is, the defense is still elite. I think it's proven. I think it's still an elite defense. I mean, in my opinion, they didn't even score a single touchdown because that was a bullshit call. I'm going to use my one swear word during the show because that was a bullshit call.
It was. Okay? It was a really bad call. And I think the defense looked great. I would have liked to see more blitzes and some more exotic packages. But I understand that you've got the Bills in week two and you need to keep some things off film. I am expecting the Dolphins defense to bring it up a notch against the Bills after the 50 pointer that they scored on us last, you know, to end the season last year. I am expecting, you know, Tua, Parker, Waddle, and Fuller to make a difference in this game. And my next point about the Patriots game, you're not going to like.
I already know what it is because you already teased me on it and I am fuming. Go on.
I know, but I just wanted to, you know, warn our audience that you weren't like this.
Okay.
I think we need to talk about Myles Gaskin being the starter.
Oh my gosh. It's week one, but go on.
No, I think he's a solid running back, but I don't think he's the guy that you can give 60% of the snaps or the carries. I think that there are plenty of plays where he either hesitated to, you know, attack that hole, or he just didn't attack that hole and just tried to bounce it outside. And I don't think he has the speed to be able to do that consistently. And I think Salvon Ahmed can do everything else Gaskin does a bit better. And he's just as bad blocking as Gaskin is.
Your alternative, your guy is Salvon Ahmed. You think that he can do everything that Gaskin can do, but better. That's your statement.
Do you agree Ahmed is faster than Gaskin?
I definitely think he's faster.
Do you agree he runs routes better than Gaskin?
I would not agree. I would say that he probably, when he gets the ball in his hands, he is a little bit quicker. Of course.
And I do think that Gaskin is trying to do this like Le'Veon Bell style of running, of just like waiting to see the hole develop.
Patience. He's got patience. Yeah. That's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, but the thing is that the hole opens and he's like waiting for a second hole to open.
Yeah.
He's like, no, just attack that hole and just get me those 4 yards. Get me those 5 yards.
Are you mad at him for having too much patience?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, that's a virtue. And that's something your mama teaches you from day one. You have to have.
Here's a scenario that someone posted on Twitter. And once again, I'm not sure if it was Alf or Tiago or CK. But if the Dolphins beat the Bills, and this is not my prediction for the game, I'm not going to make my prediction yet. But if the Dolphins beat the Bills and they're 2-0 in the division and the Bills are 0-2, and you start looking at that potential playoff at home, do the Dolphins make a big trade at running back?
Oh my gosh, I've seen this, and people were saying Saquon Barkley, right? For that,
Would you say no to Saquon?
No, of course I would say no to Saquon Barkley. But also, well, maybe, I don't know. He potentially is injury prone, right? It's potentially he can't stay there.
But
for
here's
an entire season.
Here's another team, though. I mean, Minnesota didn't look good in week one,
right?
If they lose in week two, and I know apparently that, you know, locker room is just a trash can fire, would you offer something for Mr. Cook up there?
Okay, sure. I would also maybe potentially offer for Dalvin Cook. But the argument has to be made then that you are saying if we're 2-0, then we should be thinking Super Bowl, that we're a running back away from a Super Bowl. Is that your opinion?
I think we are a stronger offensive line and a running back away from Super Bowl.
I'm going to say this. It's that I can't use another swear word, so I got to just bull crap. We are not. We need.
Wait. So wait. What are you missing? Because you've got a strong defense.
Sure. Yeah.
You've got good playmakers on the outside. You've got a solid quarterback that can manage the game. If you get a good to elite running game going, there's no reason why this team shouldn't be considered very dangerous. But then again, let's revisit this next week after we see the Buffalo game, because if the Dolphins go 1-1-1, then it's just a moot point.
Yeah, I'm not even going to do this quick trigger thing that you're trying to do, saying we could be Super Bowl champions if we trade for Saquon Barkley. I'm not going to ever say that. But I'll say,
I'm not saying just Barkley, but I'm saying if you get a good running game going and you solidify that offensive line with an elite right tackle or an elite left guard,
We're built. Let's say that we are built like the Chiefs a little bit, right? Like, that's the thing we've been saying on this show. We're built like the Chiefs a little bit. Yeah. The thing
is, you don't have a gunslinger at quarterback. That's
right. You don't have a gunslinger. So you don't have someone that could probably hit all those speedsters that we added to the roster. I think Tua can hit.
I think he can. He's just not going to hit them deep.
Right. He's not going to hit them deep with this. You know, he's not going to scramble for 10 seconds and find Tyreek Hill. Right.
Yeah.
That's not going
to
happen.
Which, by the way, he tried to do against the Patriots. And you know, I love Tua, but please, Tua, never do that again.
Yeah. It was the worst.
Right.
It was the worst pick ever.
Yeah. It was a bad pick. and then you took a big hit anyways. All right. Just eat it. Just go down.
Right. I agree on all facets, but I have to come back to the point that we were arguing because you're making this a little too wide. the thing I have to say is that the reason that we are not a running back away from the Super Bowl is because this offensive line is our weak spot on this team, and it's bad. It's really, really bad. And I think
reviewing the film,
and it's comparable to the Chiefs. Bad. You know, it's comparable
they
to the Chiefs.
They weren't as bad as they could have been.
Sure.
I mean, we all saw the play where the guards pull on opposite directions and crash into each other. That was bad. We saw the play where Liam got tripped up by Solomon and basically gave up a sack. We saw a couple of plays where the Patriots bringing just four or five guys were getting there quickly. But in general, the offensive line play wasn't as disastrous as I feared it would be.
Okay, that's probably fair, but I don't think we can fix every single hole we have on this team that stops us from being a Super Bowl team this season. I think we could trade for Saquon Barkley, and maybe that takes us to the divisional round or the AFC Championship, God forbid, but it would never take us to the glory land. But I am not I'm just trying to temper expectations here.
No, also, I agree with you. I don't think the Dolphins are Super Bowl contender yet. Sure. I do think that if you give this team, this defense, a stronger offensive line, sure, and a running game that you know is going to get 110 yards per game just running the ball, then the Dolphins can actually play that, you know, possession game that Brian Flores loves, and that's really hard to beat in December and January.
I already forgot that the crux of this conversation was you throwing shade at my favorite player, Myles Gaskin.
Dude, it's not shade to say that. Okay, where do you rank him as a running back?
In the whole league?
Yeah.
Top two. No, I'm kidding. I would say probably like a top, at this point in time, probably a top 15, top 16 back.
Okay, so a top 16 back.
Sure. Yeah, so half of the NFL.
So half the NFL is better and half the NFL is worse.
Right.
Okay. And you wouldn't take an upgrade?
I mean, obviously I would take an upgrade.
That's it. That's the only point I'm making.
No, but you were saying you should put Salvin Ahmed in for him.
Yeah, right now, because I think Myles Gaskin left at least one or two or three first downs in the game. And three first downs is a life in an NFL game.
Yeah. I think that is true. But I think
Salvin Ahmed ran hard, played well, actually hit the holes quicker. And I understand he's like a smaller back and he's just faster and he's not as tough as Gaskin. I just say give him a shot.
My last argument on this point, and then I want to move on to one final thing for the Patriots and the Dolphins game before we get our Bills fan on the show. But I would say that the reason that Salvin Ahmed has big plays, all of his big plays are opened up by Myles Gaskin's ability to... I think he's a big playmaker, and then you do a lot of change up pace guy, and that's Salvin Ahmed, and then he bursts one. That's usually what happens, in my opinion.
You're gonna have to agree to disagree on that.
Well, like I promised, we got a Bills fan on the show. Welcome Vince Taylor from Buffalo on the Brain to the show. Do your little plugs, your social media, all that fun stuff.
Well, hello, Carter, Jorge. It's so nice for you to invite me to be on your show behind enemy lines and, you know, kind of kicking it with the enemy here, but, you're a good guy and I'm getting to know Jorge and I'm liking you guys a lot. You can find my show Buffalo on the Brain on the Built in Buffalo Network. I'm on Twitter at Podcast Vince. That's the only social media that I have.
Here's my opening question for you, Vince.
By the way, before you go there, Card, I just gotta say, Vince, I did make a few jokes about the name of your podcast just because when we talk about brains in Buffalo, I only think of people jumping on tables and getting a concussion.
No, I'm just not very creative.
Oh, okay.
I'm not smart enough to come up with a good name, so that's all I got.
Hey, here's my first cue for you then. How does it feel, Vince, to be last in the division? How does that feel?
Oh, no, that's not going to last.
I agree with Vince just because we've got the Jets in the division.
Right. So,
you know.
Well, you know, if history is any indication, you guys are getting ready to get it handed to you by Mr. Josh Allen. He owns the Dolphins. If you could take his stats against the Dolphins and put it into a 17-game schedule, he would be like he would break every record.
I know. I can't disagree with that. Honestly, you know, after Lee Evans retired from the Bills, I thought there wasn't going to be a Dolphins killer. And then Josh Allen just takes this huge step forward in his career and just becomes an elite quarterback that really owned us, at least for the last 2 years. And obviously week 17 was just embarrassing for this team.
And the reason I asked that is because this seems like it's going to be one of the last weeks I can even say we're first in the division this year. So, I mean, maybe potentially we beat you. I don't know. It's possible. But it feels ever so good to say that the Dolphins are 1-0 and everyone else sucks. So here's my first question, actual question for you. Let's talk about how to beat the Bills, because the Steelers did it. How'd they beat you? Tell us a little bit about that, Vince.
They were able to get pressure without blitzing. I think someone said they blitzed just one time and bring in just three or four. They were getting pressure with three sometimes, just bring three or four guys and dropping everybody else back. Josh Allen sort of regressed to his, you know, rookie year sugar high Josh. That sugar high Josh is a little rough, but he wasn't making good decisions. He was getting greedy and not taking what was offered up to him. But, you know, it wasn't a great game for the block kick. As bad as we played, that block punt was the difference in the game. So there's that. And the Steelers are a quality team, even if their offense is not that good. Much like the Dolphins, they have a good defense. And they have maybe one of the best defensive lines in football.
Vince, can I ask you a question about one play in particular that I actually was talking about on Twitter yesterday? It was a 4th and short. And, you know, the one that Josh basically tosses out to the left. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, it seemed like, you know, it was a quarterback sneak that kind of Josh pulled out of at the last minute, just like threw the pitch to the running back, just because all the blocking seemed to close down the middle and there was no one blocking outside for the running back. So I just want to hear your perspective on that one. If it was just a weird play call by Brian Daboll, was it just a weird play design, or was it Josh just trying to make a play where it wasn't there?
Can I curse on this program?
Yeah, go for it. You get one swear word per show.
We decided to get one.
That play, I was cursing at my TV. I don't know. Like, it's 4th and 1. You've got Josh Allen. Like, he's one of the best QB sneaky quarterbacks in the league. You got just 1 yard to go, and you're going backwards. Now, I know they tried to get cute there, and maybe they wanted to try to break off a long run, but the whole execution in that play was bad too, because the wide receiver came back to the formation, brought the defensive back with him who was there to stop the play. Like, you'd been better off just having Josh fall down or even handing it on a regular halfback dive. That play has got Bills Mafia befuddled. And some people are even questioning, as much as we all love Brian Daboll, we're questioning him right now for that one specific play, which is harsh, but that's Bills Mafia for you.
Yeah, don't worry. The Dolphins Twitter, you know, we were just talking about it, that the Dolphins could win the Super Bowl and people are going to complain about the score or something. So I think that's the general fandom across the AFC East, if you're not a Pats fan.
Yeah, that definitely is. And I think the next obvious question I have for you, Vince, is this. Okay, so what do you think it was more of, the loss here? Because we're going to do one more question about the loss just to make you feel it a little bit in the gums. And then we'll move on to the Dolphins-Bills matchup, of course. But is this team worse than last year? Do you think it's more of that? Or do you think the Steelers are just that legit?
No, I think this team is the same as last year. I don't know where we really upgraded. You know, we got some, quote, depth pieces. But the Steelers just are that good. The Steelers played the Bills tough in 2020. They played the Bills tough in 2019. One of Josh's worst games last year was against the Steelers. Now, his worst games now are the Bills drought era quarterback's best games. So the standards have changed a lot, but it was just a good day for the Steelers. I'm not super worried about it. Like, I put it behind me.
That one was interesting because I put a bunch of money on them, Vince. And I came out with, you know, there was a parlay. I had like a 5-leg parlay and the Bills seemed like the one that was the easy win for me. And I lost 100 bones because of the Bills. So, I mean, I really took that loss personally, but it's okay. It's totally fine.
I will say this, Vince. I've got another podcast in Spanish and that's not a Dolphin-centric podcast. And I did say that the Bills were, for me, before the season began, the best team in the AFC, in the AFC period. So I had to apologize on air this week for telling people that the Bills was a sure win. So yeah, I'm kind of hurt because it's the first time I actually say something positive of the Bills. And I was like, yeah, they're you know, the best team in the AFC. I think they're a step ahead of the Chiefs just because I think they have a better defense, and they are ahead of the Browns because I think they have a better offense than them. And then you guys lay an egg to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, tough loss. But by the way, I love it. I'm a diehard Bills fan since I was old enough to know what football was, and I'm not even going that far to say the Bills are the favorites in the AFC. So I might even put Cleveland up there with the Chiefs. Bills are probably three, I think, in my mind. So I love it. I love that you're having that much confidence, but it stung a little. You know, I thought we'd win, and I thought we would cover. I thought it'd be a scrappy, you know, grinder type of game, which it was. I just thought we'd come out on top.
Okay, pivoting a little bit, Vince, I have a question for you before we move on to the Dolphins, Bills matchup. Your perspective on the Dolphins and Tua being the Patriots' daddy at home. I mean, what was your view of that game? How did you watch the game? Did you watch any highlights? What'd you think?
I did not watch the game. I followed along on CBS. Lots of times on Sunday afternoons, I have to put my podcast together because mine comes out on Monday. So yeah, sorry. But it looked like a pretty decent day for Tua two good defenses going up against each other. One guy's a rookie. The other guy's, for all intents and purposes, might still well be a rookie. But it looks like a quality win. I mean, the Patriots are no joke. They're a good team too. And I thought they'd be slightly better with Mac Jones. So you should feel good about that win against the Patriots.
I remember talking to you last week about what you thought the AFC East would shake out as. And I know we don't want to do this thing where we go week by week, we change all of our opinions. But would you say that you think of the Dolphins more as that number two in the AFC East? Or are you still thinking Pats take the number two?
I'm still saying Pats are two, but I'm not mad if it's close. I'm not mad if we go one way or the other.
That's probably fair. We're going to ask you again, like halfway through the season, but okay. So we have, the NFL.com power rankings dropped this last week and the Bills dropped from 3 to 6 in the rankings. And I want to read you what they said. And you tell me, is this fair or is this not fair? So the Bills had a defined game plan on Sunday, spread out their wide receivers and let their star quarterback pick apart a suspect Pittsburgh secondary. The strategy made plenty of sense when Brian Daboll drew it up, but the execution was woeful in a disappointing 23-16 home loss to begin the season. Josh Allen looked much more like the quarterback he was in his first two seasons, while Stephon Diggs and the rest of the Buffalo playmakers struggled to gain separation and deliver the splash plays that were a signature in 2020. Fair or not?
I feel like that was written by someone that didn't watch the game. Okay. There were plays to be had. There were actually two touchdowns that Josh just missed wide open receivers. So there were plays to be had. Yes, it was a tough grind you out game. And the offensive line did Josh absolutely no favors. But there were some plays there to be had. If he connects on one of those, it's a whole different game. If the block punt doesn't happen, the Bills probably win that game the way it was going. I don't know. It just feels a little harsh.
Vince, let me ask you this following up on that. What could beyond the result, obviously, but what are the things that if you saw it this week, you'd be concerned about?
I don't think anybody's going to say the Dolphins defensive line's among the top 10 in the league. If the Dolphins defensive line is getting some pressure on Josh without having the blitz a bunch, my panic meter is going up a little bit because we did not upgrade the offensive line at all. It was not very good last year, especially in the run game. But having Josh back there just covers up so much of that because he is able to run around and make plays outside the pocket and off script. And I told Carter, I think he actually prefers playing football that way. So if they're able to get pressure without blitzing, then panic meter's going off because we did nothing. We neglected the offensive line almost 100%.
What I like to call Dolphins Bills Boxing Club Hour. And this is where we're just going to debate. We're going to take the gloves. We're going to put them on and we're going to have Jorge versus Vince on a bunch of little debates that I made up, and none of them are biased. So here we go. The first debate we have is who's a better unit, especially in pertains to the game coming up this Sunday, the Dolphins cornerbacks or the Bills wide receiving room. And we're going to let Vince, the guest, open up the debate. You go first.
Oh, man, that's a good debate. But I'm going to be as objective as I can. Okay, that's one thing you're going to know about me. I don't play the homer card, but I'm going to pick the Bills wide receivers. And the reason is this, because of Josh Allen and because of his ability to run around and make plays outside the pocket. Yes, Z and Byron Jones are going to have to, I can't pronounce his name, but those either. Guys are going to have to, they're going to have to cover longer. And they're still probably the best duo of corners in the league. And then if you want to add him as a first round pick in there as a trio, it's very impressive. But you're also turning your back to Josh Allen playing man like that. And that's when he can eat up with the rush yards. That's not really going for the wide receivers, but I'm still leaning that way.
I think I'm actually going to have to somewhat agree with Vince here. I'm going to tell you why. I think if you take the top two guys from the Bills and the top two cornerbacks from the Dolphins, it's a wash, essentially. I think, as Vince mentioned, X and Byron, probably the best cornerback duo. The thing is that the last game that we played, the 51 points, they targeted the weak link in that defensive backfield. And I know there's a lot of Dolphins fans that love the story of Nick Needham and really enjoy his effort and stuff. Honestly, I don't see him as a solid nickel cornerback at this point. Definitely not up to the standards that X and Byron have set. So, I think that, you know, X can probably take Stefon Diggs. You know, Byron can probably take Cole Beasley. But, you know, it's either Cole or Emmanuel coming in that slot position. And I'm concerned at that point. And I do think that if the Dolphins play only man, then I agree with Vince. You know, Josh can just scramble and just pick up yards by the bunches running the ball. If the Dolphins are able to play a hybrid between zone and man and are able to keep things in front of them, then the Bills can just dink and dunk down the field. And I think that's a very hard offense to stop us from a personal standpoint. So I think just by a small hair, I'm going to give the advantage to the Bills wide receivers. And I agree with Vince. It's because of Josh Allen.
So any rebuttal or you want to move on to the next debate, Vince?
No, the Bills wide receivers, I think as a trio are maybe the best route running trio in the league. Yep. They're pretty good. Cole Beasley is so hard to cover in the slot. But yeah, I think Jorge covered it pretty well.
Okay. And before I move on, since, you know, I'm the mediator, I can't do too much of the debate, but I want to say one thing about X. I think X, any given Sunday can pick anyone off. You know what I mean? And I think he might be the best player on the field any given Sunday. And I know that's a little biased, but I love X so much. Debate number two.
I agree with you there, and we saw it last week. I mean, the Patriots decided just not to throw X's way, and he still managed to come up with a ball and a fumble. So I think he's playing at an unbelievable level. The last time we saw a Dolphins defender that was this dominant was Jason Taylor back in the day. So I think X is a hell of a player.
Feels right. Okay, so debate number two, and this is going to stoke some fires under both of you, I think. Because this is probably the biggest no-no subject in Dolphins Nation, but I really want to see the Bills fans take the helm of this conversation. So fill in the blank, Jorge. We're going to start with you. Tua is what? Blank. You go first, and then we'll go to Vince.
I think Tua is growing.
That's fair. Okay. Anything to add?
I mean,
he
hasn't played 16 games yet. Vince mentioned there earlier, he's basically still a rookie. He wasn't, you know, fit last year. You know, he was coming off the injury, didn't have preseason, didn't have training camp, was basically doing rehab all the way up to the start of the season. And then they after the change of the bye week, the Dolphins were basically forced to put him in there. So yeah, I think he's still a young quarterback. He's going to make young quarterback mistakes, but I think there's plenty of promise there and plenty of potential there. So I that's the word I'm going to go with, growing.
Okay, Vince, what do you think? Tua is what?
I'm trying to find one word to finish the sentence, and I don't know that I could do it in one word. But
yeah, you can do it in a sentence. You can do it in a sentence if you want.
I'm not 100% ready to write him off and tell you that he's going to be a bust. But if I don't feel positive about Tua. I feel like, yes, he's a rookie, and what Jorge said is absolutely true. Last year was a tough year for everybody with not having a preseason, but the way he was handled gives me some concern too, because the coach didn't believe in him. A lot of what he did was on short fields, which your defense set him up for. And we had heard that people in the locker room weren't really buying into Tua as well. So there's a lot of reason for me to doubt that. Now, coming out of college, I liked him. He's just a nice enough kid, and I wanted to root for him until he got drafted by the Dolphins. But I don't know. I'm more pessimistic I am than optimistic about him.
I mean, I think that's fair. And obviously, we are all aware of the persona that's been built around Tua in league circles and stuff like that. I think he has a lot to prove. I agree with Vince that certain decisions that were made about the handling of Tua were not the best, and I would have done it differently. I also think that Brian Flores has a reputation for he's going to do whatever he needs to get this team winning. And, Changeli's playbook was definitely not built for Tua. Changeli definitely didn't know how to handle Tua, coach Tua, or even trust Tua. And they were forced to put Fitzpatrick in there when they had to go to the 2-minute offense just because they didn't trust Tua to run it well enough. And it was also designed to fit his strengths, which was basically just throw it up there and expect one of your receivers to make a play. I think the first drive of last week, both the first drive of the game, the first drive of the second half, showed us what Tua can be. He's not going to be a gunslinger. He's not going to throw a pass 75 yards in the air, but he's going to be able to make those quick decisions, RPOs work. And I think Drew Brees built a very good career on those skill set, and I think Tua can do it as well. But once again, we haven't seen him prove that he can do it. I'm also not. He hasn't proven that he can do it either. So it's just, once again, I go back to he's growing and we're going to have to be patient with him.
Yeah. I think growing is a good word. I think growing is a good word. I kind of want to maybe toss the word like unfinished or unknown. I think are also in there, but growing is a good word.
Okay. Well, I love Tua, obviously. So I have to stay out of it. I'm the mediator, of course. Let's go to the debate number three. In this one, we're going to start with Vince again. The last debate we have, and then we have a couple little matchups. Then we're going to do a game prediction. Then we're going to send Vince on his way because we have a Washington football team versus the Giants in about 30 minutes, which I don't know. Are you going to watch that, Vince?
Yes, I have some more podcast work to do, but I am going to turn that on. Well, an interesting more with Fitz was playing because Bill's Mafia loves our Fitz.
Yeah.
Now I don't have any love for the Giants at all. And I was kind of, before the season started, kind of rooting for Washington to take that division. Maybe not going to happen now, but we'll see.
I think that they're a defensive team. I think they still could do it. I think they'll be fine. And it's also the NFC least. So they're... I think it'll be all right. Dolphins held the Pats to 16 last week, showcasing that once again, they're elite. Okay. I think that can be put out there. The Bills scored 16 against the Steelers. True or false, the Dolphins could hold the Bills under 21. It's possible. Yes or no?
False, because it hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't happen someday. And maybe this is the week, but I just feel like after last week, you're catching the Bills refocused, and maybe against the Steelers, they were reading all the nice things that were said about them and how we're all Super Bowl contenders. And I think you're going to see a refocused Bills team this week against the Dolphins.
I agree with Vince. And I mean, he said at the beginning, it hasn't happened yet. So until I can see that Brian Flores, Josh Boyer, and this Dolphins defense can actually play against Josh Allen for four quarters, I'm not willing to say, they're going to be able to hold him to 21 this week.
Yeah, Jorge, you're doing a lot of agreeing with our guests, by the way. I'm just going to call on that.
No, but it's just, you know me. I mean, I'm obviously a Dolphins fan, but I'm also going to be objective. And this defense is elite and has proven to be elite against 30 teams in the NFL, they haven't proven it against the Bills.
How dare you be objective with our guest? How dare you? Okay, it's a Bills fan. He's coming on our show. And
I made fun of the name of the podcast. That was me being a fan.
That's true. That's a good point. Okay, well, yeah, I think it's possible. I, of course, like when I came on your show, Vince, I'm going to say, yeah, it hasn't happened before. And there's no way that the new Josh Allen, if this is what he's going to be, like the last season Josh Allen, if he's going to be that for the rest of his career, there's no way he's going to be held below 20 points two games in a row. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. It's very unlikely to Josh Allen, who he is right now, to have two games in a row like he just did.
Yes. Yeah. So I wouldn't bet on it personally. Okay.
Now, here's an interesting question, though. I think I had high expectations for the Bills defense. And from what I saw, I didn't see the full game, but I saw, you know, at least the last two quarters. And it didn't really, you know, match up with my expectations. So I think it's closer that the Dolphins are going to put 21 on them as well. I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
I think the Bills defensive line is going to get after Tua because Gregory Rousseau is a problem. And, you know, I know Carter's not very high on the Dolphins offensive line, just like I'm not high on the Bills offensive line, but Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, Gregory Rousseau, Effie Obada, those guys are going to come for Tua. And it's not like Roethlisberger getting rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. That's not Tua's game. So I think Tua's going to have some adversity there.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on that one, Vince. I think Tua has proven that being forced to throw it quickly is where he's at best, where he doesn't have to hold onto the ball. And that's what the Patriots did. They were basically playing a contained game and forcing Tua to hold onto the ball, not really getting after him that quickly. And I think that's when Tua got himself into trouble. If the Dolphins are able to throw the ball quickly and just have those RPOs, quick reads, I think that's where the Dolphins can actually hurt the Bills.
Okay. I guess we'll wait and find out.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be a great game. Yeah, that's a great thing about sports, right?
I'll wait and see. We get to prove it. Okay, so let's go to Dolphins versus Bills. Jorge, let's start with you. Who on the Bills are you most worried about? Like, it keeps you up at night, gets you panic sweats. Who is it?
I mean, I think, honestly, Rousseau on the defensive side, I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of Epenesa going back to last year, and I still think he's going to be a great player in this league. But I have to say Brian Daboll. I think he's had Brian Flores' number. I think he's able to decipher that defense, and he's been able to do it consistently. And I think Josh Allen is a great trigger man for him. So, yeah, if I'm concerned, I'm concerned about Daboll. And as Vince mentioned, the Bills lost last week. They're going to come into Miami, refocus, knowing that, you know, starting 0-2 in the division is a killer, basically. So that's who I'm concerned about.
And then on the flip side, Vince, for you, on the Dolphins, who are you most worried about?
Well, I could do the easy thing and tell you about your great corners and that, you know, that.
Yeah.
They're but I want to pick something different.
Fun.
I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki.
Oh.
Because the Bills were really bad against tight ends last year. I used to know the numbers, but I forgot because I can't remember anything. But, I mean, they were just really bad against opposing teams' tight ends. And our linebackers are covers linebackers. You know, Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds are not thumpers. They're not great tacklers. They are more coverage style linebackers. And they still were able to eat us up last year. So Mike Gesicki, if Tua has a good game, it's going to be because of Mike Gesicki.
And that's interesting, right? Because, you know, Gesicki had a rather poor game last week. He didn't show up on the stat sheet. I blame him for the pick that Tua got because he had the ball in his hands instead of doing anything else. He basically put in the Patriots' hands. So that's an interesting one. I have to agree with Vince's reasons for it.
You know, the Gesicki pick too. What I like about it is I'm going to use the same argument you kind of use. Well, I kind of used about how Josh Allen's not going to have back to back, you know, stinker weeks. I think that's the same thing for Gesicki. I think Belichick really did a good job of, he really game planned, honestly, for Gesicki. And this week, I just don't think it's possible with all of the different threats to worry about, especially because Will Fuller's back. So I think Gesicki this coming week is going to have a big one. So I totally agree with. Okay, I'm going to go into this really quick, though. I want to kind of display to you how I think the Dolphins could win. Like, if they were to win, this is how they would win. And then I want you to do that for the Bills, Vince. But in my opinion, the Dolphins win this Sunday if we control the ball a lot. I mean, and the thing is, if we run the ball, effectively, which, you know, Jorge does not like Myles Gaskin, apparently. We just found that out in the show. But I do, and I think if that's totally possible, if we control if we can control the clock a little bit, we can, you know, juice those running backs and they can get at least 4 yards a carry, getting, you know, third and shorts and keeping the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. Maybe it's possible. So how do the Bills win this Sunday, Vince?
Well, we let Josh cook. We let Josh be Josh. We don't have any blocked punts. We don't let the Dolphins get pressure with just four people. I don't know. We figure out how to cover tight ends. If the Dolphins get a lead, like I'm going to say 14 in late in the third quarter, that's when I think the run game can start working against us and in favor of the Dolphins. If you guys can just start eating up some clock like that, but you know, you got to get that lead first. But I don't know. I the Bills, they got to bounce back. I half their problem right now, I think, is mental. I think they came in that game a little too hyped. There were some bad calls. Levi Wallace had a terrible game, but that's not who they are. We saw that the year before. Josh can carry this team. And if they just get over their mental block, I think they're going to be fine.
I mean, I think if for the Dolphins to win, they need to hold onto the ball. And that, by that, I mean not just not turning it over, but just actually having long possessions throughout the game. What we did against the Patriots of having, you know, one scoring drive at the beginning of the game and one scoring drive to begin the second half is not going to work against the Bills. We need to have, you know, be able to sustain drives, no three and outs. I know they love going up tempo, but against the Bills, I would rather slow down the offense, have those 3-4 yards per game, per play, sorry, just enough to get that first down and keep Josh Allen off the field.
Is just do a straight up game prediction here to end the show. And then Vince and Jorge, we're all done. Who wants to start?
28-14 Bills.
Any finishing notes on that? Why 28-14 specifically?
Josh is going to get back on track. He's probably going to get up right around 300 yards. I'll give him at least two, maybe three touchdowns. I don't know. We're going to be able to contain Tua, and Josh is going to get back to what he does best. What I like about the Dolphins, and that's probably not the right word, I'm not phrasing this correctly, but as good as your two corners are, that you guys do run a lot of man, and that's when Josh gets those hidden yards because he's so big and hard to tackle. And as much as I hate it when he does that, he is really good at it, and he can keep some drives going that way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be until I see this coaching staff be able to beat the Bills, I think I have to say that the Bills are going to win. I think it's going to be closer than what Vince said. So I'm going to say 27-24 Bills.
27-24 Bills. Okay, and for me to end the show a little bit here, I have to say that I also picked the Bills, which is kind of... I picked the Bills on your show, and after you guys started 0-1, I still have to pick the Bills, and almost even more so because if you guys started out 1-0, I think maybe, oh, you slip up early in the season, we beat you. But now it seems like we are the game that you're going to get back on track with, huh? You could potentially score 48 on us, and that would feel great. However, I don't predict that. I predict maybe a very, very close outing. I think the Dolphins cover, as this is a Bills -3.5 type game. I think they cover. I think it's going to be a 27-24 game. And the Dolphins cover, but they can't win. I just, like I said, I will never pick the Dolphins against the Bills until proven differently. But yeah, that's my prediction on the whole thing. Any words, Jorge?
I will say this, Carter, just real quick. Because I know time's running out, but if the Dolphins are able to sustain their first three drives, they don't have to finish in touchdowns, but you know, if they're able to sustain and keep that defense on the field in the heat of Miami in September, then I think the Dolphins would have a path to victory later in the game.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think there is a way to win this game. I don't think it's impossible to say that the Dolphins... I mean, they're at home. One, it's super, super hot. You know, it's a 12 o'clock start. And if we possess the ball a lot and we're running well and the defense is on their toes the entire game and we keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, the guy that can, you know, is going to do damage to us, the guy with the gun, I definitely think it's possible. But, you know, like I said, 27-24. Vince, anything on the way out?
Well, I can tell you, if the Bills do not win this game, there's going to be a large section of Western New York and me out in Indiana that are going to just be like, I'm so upset because I'll be at the game next week, but you guys will be 2-0 with already a one division game against us. So we'd be starting out in a big hole.
I would say
if we don't win, it'll be a much different season.
Yeah. If the Dolphins win, they're 2-0 in the division and with a clear path to just, you know, sweeping the Jets. If you beat the Patriots, it's Foxborough. No reason to think you can't beat them here. It would just be the Bills and Buffalo, which is an impossible game for me right now. So yeah, it'd be a great start for the Dolphins.
But I was also talking about on my Twitter, if we start out 2-0 and the Bills start out 0-2, the narrative isn't going to be, whoa, the Dolphins have really shown up in this division. The narrative's going to be, what is wrong with the Bills?
But that's also fair, Carter. I mean, the Dolphins haven't done anything to earn national respect.
I mean, what? Beating the Bills would be, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, but then it's a Bills team that's 0-2, so you need to, you know, prove that week in and week out, because we've seen that before. We saw it with Adam Gase, where the Dolphins would start, you know, and then they just have to win two of their last remaining four games and then just lose all four. So Dolphins have to be consistent and prove that they can win those big games.
Okay. I'll back off a little bit on that point. You're probably right. The Dolphins haven't proved crap. Like I said, I can't swear. I already used my one for the day. But yes, thank you, Vince Taylor. On the way out, you do your socials again, and we will do the conclusion.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was really fun. And my show, Buffalo and the Brain, comes out Mondays on the Built in Buffalo Network. I only have a Twitter account, and that is @PodcastVince.
Perfect. Okay, thanks, Vince. Thanks, Jorge.
Thanks so much, Vince.
Amigos. And we are on the Dolphins Talk Podcasting Network. We will see you next Friday, of course.